This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Bienvenido al podcast de Toastmasters, el podcast oficial de Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Greg Gazin. Hola a todos, mi nombre es Greg Gazin, y tenemos un programa especial. We have a special program today. For those of you listening, you've probably already gathered that. We're going to be trying something a little bit different than we normally do. And in fact, we have a special co-host for today's episode. You might remember her from episode 123, the Financially Savvy Latina. Her name is Natalie Torres Haddad, and she's going to be my co-host for today's episode, because if you haven't already gathered, it's going to be a bilingual episode. Hi, Natalie. Welcome back, and thanks for being my co-host today.
Hola. Thank you for having me. Bienvenidos. I'm excited to be part of this.
Well, this was sort of your idea, so perhaps maybe you could tell us how this all came about.
I was so excited to be a part of Toastmasters podcast the first time around, and after that podcast, I had so many people reach out to me talking about diversity that they've seen within their own clubs, and not knowing that there is so many clubs out there that are enriched with different cultures, and we're learning so much from each other, even languages. So I had that idea speaking with Greg, and this is something you and I had spoken many times over, saying we tried our best to not only become better and more effective communicators, but we also want to be able to be effective communicator in the languages that we're learning, which is Spanish. And one of the things that I saw, I happen to be Latina, but when it comes to public speaking, especially in Spanish, I still get very nervous. And I know that there is so many clubs out there now that are embracing both languages and helping us to perfect our communication in each language.
No, absolutely. I think we've seen a huge growth in diverse cultures within Toastmasters. And again, we're very happy that Toastmasters gave us the green light to go ahead and do this episode. Now, this episode almost didn't happen, right?
Oh, yes. We were so nervous, anxious, and really being able to be the first to do something different and to be able to showcase the diversity that is within our clubs. We weren't sure if this was something that we're ready to do or how we do this, but we learn as we actually do the work.
It wasn't just you. Of course, I've been a Toastmaster for 15 years. I've been a podcaster for over a decade. But yet, as we spoke yesterday morning, I woke up at 4 a.m. going, I can't do this. I'm not ready for this. My knowledge of the Spanish language isn't that great. Let's not do this. But then I thought, you know what? In Toastmasters, one of the things I learned a long time ago is that we learn by doing. Aprendemos haciendo. And I thought, you know what? We have to do this.
So I was very excited to get the support from you along with Toastmasters to try something new and to really showcase the diversity that is within our clubs and how we're trying to also do the best with bringing in bilingual clubs to help us in all different languages.
That's incredible. Now, you and I are speaking, and as I mentioned earlier, you're our special co-host. However, we do have a guest that's been waiting, I'm sure, quite patiently on the line. So if you could please, Natalie, please introduce our guest for today.
Oh, yes. We have a special treat. She is a dynamo in everything that she does. Veronica Corona is not only an entrepreneur, she's also a speaker. She happens to be the CEO of CM Cleaning Solutions. She is currently an award-winning entrepreneur through different organizations, such as the California Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Latino Chamber of Commerce, and the Hispanic Lifestyle Magazine. And she recently is also one of the best-selling authors for her book, Latina Empowerment Through Leadership. And one of the things that I was so impressed with her is her involvement with Toastmasters, but her club is particularly a bilingual club. It's the Hispanic Bilingual Toastmasters located in Glendale, California. Veronica, welcome to Toastmaster Podcast, the bilingual episode.
Thank you both. I'm very excited to be here today.
Yeah, it's great that you're actually going to join us. So we'll start off with the first question. I should say, la primera pregunta, Veronica, ¿por qué y cuándo decidiste meterte en el club Toastmasters?
Bueno, Buenas tardes a todos. Hace 5 años decidí meterme al club de Toastmasters y bilingüe. Yo soy bilingüe, pero no tengo problema hablar inglés en frente de un público, pero hablar español me daba un poquito de miedo porque no estaba segura de que iba a pronunciar las palabras correctamente. Y hace 5 años más o menos, un amigo me invitó. Él estaba fundando un club bilingüe. Nuestro club es español y inglés. Y la meta es de hablar el lenguaje del cual tenemos que mejorar. Y realmente fui porque quería ayudar a alguien que mejorara en sus... en cómo hablar en público. Y el último yo me hice miembro y hasta fui presidente de mi club.
Excelente.
Well, thank you for sharing with us, Veronica. Just hearing you say you were nervous speaking your own native language in public, and this is why you decided to not only join and be part of Toastmasters these past 5 years, you just found it beneficial to yourself and to others that are involved with a bilingual Toastmasters. Veronica, walk us through what it means to be part of a bilingual club. I've never been to one. For those that have never attended one and are possibly thinking of joining one, what to expect?
Well, Natalie, being part of a bilingual Toastmasters has challenged me to practice in both languages, in Spanish and English. I didn't have a problem standing up in front of an audience and speaking in English. I felt very comfortable. But then when it came to Spanish, I didn't feel comfortable. Even though Spanish is my first language, I fluently speak it. It wasn't the same to have to stand up in front of an audience and do a speech. And that was part of the reason I joined the Toastmasters, to challenge myself. It's been a great journey, down to the point that I became a president of my club, and now I'm area director of Toastmasters. So it's been a fun journey being a Toastmaster. More than importantly, our bilingual club, we help people who have the challenges in the different language. So I was having a challenge standing up in public and speaking Spanish. We have some members that have a challenge standing up and speaking in English. Even though they speak both languages, they're not very comfortable speaking it in English. And that's what our club is about, to help in the language we may be familiar with, but we would not be courageous enough to stand in front of an audience and say something, even a presentation, even a work presentation, or maybe a thank you, a simple thank you in front of an audience. It's been challenging, but very rewarding.
Well, congratulations on taking on that role. Area director already, that's actually quite impressive. You had mentioned, obviously, that members will join for different reasons, but I'm just kind of curious what the makeup would be like in the club. Do you have purely native Spanish speakers? Do you have second and third generation? Do you have people that speak different languages? Are they there to learn English? Are they learn Spanish? Sort of what kind of mixture do you have?
We have a combination of both. We have a lot of persons who their first language is Spanish. And even though they're bilingual, they speak English, they want to improve on their speaking skills. Especially we have bankers, real estate agents, people in different fields that want to improve on their English speaking skills when it comes to presenting, to doing a presentation, or speaking with their clients. Our meeting is held bilingual, and you do your speeches in the language that you're most comfortable in. And it's lots of fun.
I can imagine.
We have a good time. And so we have a combination. Mainly, it is first generation. We have a few second and third generations. We have a few members that they understand Spanish, but they don't really speak it very well. So this is a perfect place for them to improve on their speaking skills.
Veronica, you just hit a great point, mm-hmm. saying being a first generation or just someone that understands it, but maybe feels very uncomfortable speaking in front of an audience in a different mm-hmm. language. Mm-hmm. This is one of the reasons why we wanted to do this particular podcast, because Greg and I had that conversation of how when we get up in front of an audience and in a different language, we get extremely critical and nervous about this. And Greg, if you can mention, I know you said you had just done your first icebreaker in Spanish. What was that process for you?
Well, it was actually pretty scary. And just to give people some context, we just started just within the last year, the Latino Canadian Entrepreneurs. It's the first Spanish bilingual club in Canada. And I believe it's the only club in Canada. Now, I have to admit, I didn't spearhead the club. It was really spearheaded by a lady named Marta Munoz. She's from Colombia. And she was a member of the New Entrepreneurs Club in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, District 99. She approached me saying that she'd like to start a Spanish club. She was really involved with the Latino Chamber of Commerce in Edmonton. I helped mostly from the Toastmaster side, but I also decided that I wanted to learn Spanish as well. So getting back to the icebreaker, I had said it publicly that before the end of the Toastmasters year, I was going to do my icebreaker in Spanish. And it was a very interesting experience because I had already done 6 icebreakers before. Again, I'd been a Toastmaster for quite a while. this was a whole new experience. And in fact, it took me a while to have enough courage to be able to do it, but I did succeed. Now, how I did it was I actually used Google Translate to do a lot of the translation, but then I realized that that wasn't working all that well. I approached one of the members of our club. Her name is Rocio Granados, and I was helping her. I was mentoring her for her speeches in English, and I asked her, I said, would you help me? Would you be my mentor for my speeches in Spanish? And of course, she had this big smile, and she kind of chuckled, and she agreed to help me. So we actually sat down. We went through the speech. Then I was saying that some of these words, well, first of all, yeah, Google Translate isn't 100%, and some of the words really...
Very true.
The translations didn't really make any sense. So we went through it. She tried to help correct my grammar, but there were still a number of words that I couldn't handle. I found trouble pronouncing them. I couldn't really understand them. So she helped me find words that could be replaced instead. So for example, if someone says, my name is, mi nombre es, you can replace that with I'm called, right? Me llamo. As opposed to, so using a different word. So all in all, it worked out quite well. And I'm even still nervous thinking about it, but I'm looking forward to doing the second one.
Well done. And you know, I like how you just said, you found the actual translation. It was maybe a more difficult word. And sometimes it's the formal word that people use. And so being able to be connected with other fellow Toastmasters, they're there for that support. And what better opportunity that we have that their actual lay of language is something that they can help you with. So the fact that you were lucky enough to have that in your group, and there's so many other organizations out there that you can reach out to, right? Like, so if I'm in this Toastmasters here and we don't have any Spanish speakers, I'm part of the Compton Elite Toastmasters, and we do have some that speak Spanish. But yeah, I think that's something that is so wonderful within our clubs, is that we can say, you know what, can you help me with the speech? This is what I'm trying to do. And I like, Greg, that you just said your goal at the end of the year was to give at least your first speech. And I think that plays back to now with Veronica, because Veronica, you said this was something to help you, not just for yourself, but for your business, for the people in your community. Was there a time before you even joined Toastmasters, if you felt maybe a hesitation of joining, or challengers, or maybe you didn't really know what to expect before joining?
At first, I felt like I didn't need to join a bilingual Toastmasters. I could have just done an English Toastmaster club. But then when I started going to the meetings and realized that our club was about to help you practice in the language you needed the help the most. But I'm going to tell you something, even though I at that time, I needed help in my Spanish speaking skills, even though I'm very fluent in Spanish, it's a difference speaking, having a conversation with each other versus standing up in front of an audience and speaking in Spanish. It challenged me, but also I can tell you that it helped me improve in my English speaking skills.
Oh, how so?
Because now I understand more about presentations, and I feel more comfortable being in front of the audience. Even though I was okay being in front of an audience speaking English, it's helped me improve on how to speak, improve on how to present myself in both languages.
I'm just curious, because I know I fit into this boat, is do you, or maybe perhaps some of your members, feel maybe perhaps a little shy or intimidated speaking a second language or a different language in front of someone who is fluently bilingual? Because I know I do.
Well, most definitely. I'll tell you, in my bilingual Toastmasters club, we have some very eloquent Spanish speakers. My speeches in Spanish, I was embarrassed. Oh, they're going to correct me. I'm going to say the words wrong. Because even though I'm a fluent Spanish speaker, there's a difference when you're doing a presentation and you want to make sure it comes out nicely presented and eloquent and the proper words in Spanish. Because that's another thing, you know, we don't use Spanglish. We use Spanish, which is very important.
Yes, la comprensión es mejor que la perfección a veces.
Claro, claro.
Sí.
Claro, muy de acuerdo con eso. Pero cuando hablamos español y cuando tienes personas que son educadas en español y te corrigen en las palabras, nos recordamos que hay muchas palabras que no son apropiadas, sino no están bien dichas. Por ejemplo, estacionamiento es parking. Y en español lo decimos parqueadero. Esa palabra ni existe en el diccionario español. Quizás ahora sí, pero no. So, esos son los ejemplos de las correcciones que nos ayudan para mejorar nuestro español cuando estamos dando un discurso.
My evaluator told me that I was worried about the perfection too much. I should have just said the word because she said most people would understand what I'm saying anyway.
That is true. In our club, because we do have a lot of more Spanish speakers that are very, very fluent with the Spanish language, we make it an effort to correct ourselves when we're using the Spanglish to help us improve, you know, become better speakers, better presenters.
So, Veronica, I think you just hit such a point when you said, you say a word that most people, even, and if they speak Spanish, they will recognize it, even though it's not the correct term. And that's something that I still have a big challenge with. And this is why I was so excited to hear that there is bilingual clubs that will help you perfect not just yourself in Spanish, but making sure you're using those correct terms. And one of the examples Greg and I were talking about previous is that as growing up, we hear the word so often, even though it might not be the proper word, that I think, oh, that has to be the word. I used to say, you know, going to the groceries in Spanish sounds so similar. And I used to think, oh, it's las groserías. Vamos a ir a las groserías. And yet, as we know, the word grosería is a completely different word in Spanish. And it actually is a very negative connotation to use that. But because I thought as a kid growing up, speaking Spanish fluently all the time, I thought that was the proper word. As other native speakers, especially from other cultures that learn the proper word, will say that's not correct usage. So in order to have someone else to keep you accountable, like Toastmaster fellow Toastmasters, I think that's so crucial. And till this day, I no longer use that word.
I'm going to tell you, I have improved my Spanish 100% being part of the bilingual Toastmasters Club, because there's simple words that we use every day. Like, for example, oh, I'm going to the market, which in Spanish people say voy a la marqueta, and that's not even a word, it's el mercado. Mm-hmm. It's simple words and that we use every day that we don't realize, because what we've done is we've converted them into Spanglish.
You see, I would never have known, because to me it would have been, okay, you're going to the grocery store, you're going to do your groceries. I would not have known otherwise. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of good that for someone who's just learning to try to find the proper words.
Yes, it is. And trust me, I had a hard time too, because at the beginning I was doing the Spanglish. And we have some very highly educated Spanish speakers in our club, so they would correct me. And sometimes they felt bad. I said, no, please correct me. I want to make sure I'm saying the right word. Because if I want to, you know, I'm really big, since I joined the bilingual Toastmasters, I'm very big about, if I'm going to speak Spanish, then I'm speaking everything in Spanish and not then throw in English phrases. And if I'm speaking in English, speak everything in English and not throw in Spanish phrases, because at one point, I would tend to go back and forth. Even though today I still tend to go back and forth, I become aware of that, which in the past I wasn't aware. I would just do it. I've become more aware since I've been a Toastmaster. It's like, okay, you know, I'm trying to do this all in Spanish or try to do this all in English, because it's easy when you become so fluent to just commingle the words. Ya regreso, voy a la marqueta.
I'm just thinking it would probably be interesting as well, because I'm thinking in our club, I think we have people from Colombia, Chile, Peru, Argentina, Mexico, Venezuela. So there's also will be a lot of localized language as well.
Yes, there is. And we have that as well. We have people that come from different countries. And so there's certain words that are not, that could be used in Mexico that are not used in Colombia or used in different ways in Argentina. And so we try to work around that with each other. So that's not always about like, oh, you said that wrong. So just work each other, because it has different meanings in different places, even though it is a Spanish word.
But I can imagine just all the incredible stories that people tell. I mean, I love the icebreakers. The icebreakers are phenomenal. Maybe mine needs a bit of work, but hearing some of the icebreakers from people that came from different countries and how they came to Canada, or they came to the United States, or where they happen to be, it's just absolutely amazing. Veronica, I was going to ask you, is besides the speaking and the presentation skills, have you seen any other benefits that people have gained by being members of a bilingual club?
Oh, most definitely. It's not just about speaking. It's also about how you present yourself. A lot of our members are business owners, and this has helped them with their presentations at work, with the way they speak to people, especially when we do our table topics, because that's really, you have to create, not invent it. I always tell them, you're not going to create a story out of your, you know, pull it out of your sleeve. It's something that really happened, because when you speak from the heart, when you're genuine and it's a story that you lived, people like that. And if you can share that story, just improvise it, it's even better. That's what Table Topic's about, is improvising a story. And I feel that that's where everybody has benefited in our club.
Well, for sure, it helped me better understand the Latino culture.
Yes, yes.
Which a lot of which I only know from what I've read or from what I experienced. But within these clubs, when some of the speeches that you get and some of the people that you meet, you get the deep down real, you know, none of that fake news. You get to hear right from the person and right from the person's heart.
Absolutely. And my favorite part is learning their different journeys, because a lot of our members came here to the United States for a better opportunity. So when you hear their stories on how they lived and why they're here, their why they came here and what they're doing for themselves here and how successful they're becoming, it's like, you know, the American dream. And it's really great to hear the stories. It really is. I learn a lot from that alone. Very inspiring, yes.
You'll love to hear the speech number 9 and speech number 10, right?
Yes.
Inspiring your audience.
Yes, definitely. My favorite is the icebreaker, because I feel that that's when you really get to know the person. You hear about their struggles, maybe how they came here, what they're all about. That's one of my favorites, because then everything else will fall into place.
I agree. 1,000%.
So Veronica, I love how you just said you get to learn something about them in their first speech. And mm-hmm. I know for myself, before even joining Toastmasters, I had some of that hesitation, because I thought, am I going to be feeling out of place? They're going to be able to understand me, or maybe they won't understand my culture? Especially when I first joined Toastmasters, I just wondered, how am I going to be able to be not only a good communicator, but will I be welcomed? And I had such a wonderful experience and support with my club that I wanted, and I still do to this day, I always tell people, you need to join your local Toastmasters because you have such a supportive environment. Did you feel that sense when you first joined?
You know, I did have some hesitation to join, because honestly, I went to Toastmasters to help somebody else. And then I ended up becoming the member and that other person didn't. So it was really, really fascinating. But it's been so rewarding learning about people's lives and being comfortable. I want to say that our club, they made me feel very welcome, very comfortable. And then also our club founder and president at the time challenged me, because he really needed help. He was growing the club. He had just started the club a few months before I went to visit it. And he kept inviting me, And finally, you know, because I felt like, well, I don't need to go to a bilingual club. I want to go to an English club if I'm going to join Toastmasters. But let me tell you, it's been rewarding, because I do speak both languages. And I'm very fluent in Spanish, but I don't necessarily speak it out in public. I speak it with my employees in the business I do, but it's not something that or with my family, but not something that I'm out doing presentations. And now people ask me, oh, can you sit on a panel? Because you speak really good Spanish, by the way. And I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, but I have to say that has improved by being in Toastmasters.
So for someone who might feel totally intimidated approaching any Toastmasters club, if their first language just happens to not be English, do you think that having a bilingual club would bring people in who may not otherwise come to an English-only club?
Most definitely. It would make them feel comfortable that they're able to speak in their native language. So a lot of our members in our Hispanic bilingual club speak their first language is Spanish, and they feel more comfortable speaking Spanish and even more comfortable doing their speeches in Spanish. But part of being in our club is to challenge them to do that in English and create a safe environment, safe space where criticize with love, you know, to help them improve. And a lot of them speak really good English, but it's different speaking the English one-on-one than having to stand in front of an audience and doing a presentation or doing a speech. And that's where we have helped many of our members improve on their English speaking skills.
Veronica, para alguien que va a atender su primer junta de Toastmasters y tal vez unos consejos que les puede ayudar a ser un día bueno para ellos.
Mi consejo para alguien que quiera atender Toastmasters y que nunca ha hablado en público es que vaya con una mente abierta. Y sin temor, porque todos los que estamos ahí tenemos también temor de hablar en público. Entonces, es bien importante de que vayan con la mente abierta y mirar lo que va a pasar y no tener miedo a participar, porque participando es cuando se va a empezar a dar más confianza de poder hablar en público. Porque tú sabes, Natalie, que en las estadísticas dicen que tiene la cosa número uno en que las personas tienen miedo es hablar en público. Ya, yeah, es cierto, okay. Todo el mundo tiene miedo. Entonces aquí, siempre nosotros decimos en nuestro club, aquí vienen a perder el miedo de hablar en público.
Y por práctica, ¿verdad? Eso es lo que están haciendo ahí.
Sí, mira, yo te voy a decir una cosa. Yo no tenía ningún problema hablar en público, pero si yo lo tuviera que hacer en español, yo tenía miedo. Porque yo, aunque yo hablo muy bien español, yo crecí hablando español, es mi primer lenguaje, porque en mi casa siempre se habló español, aunque yo soy nacida aquí en Estados Unidos, pero siempre hablamos puro español en mi casa. Claro, después en la escuela aprendí el inglés, pero ya yo pararme enfrente de un público y tener que dar un discurso en español, oh, no, yo tenía miedo. Tenía miedo que no iba a pronunciar la palabra correctamente, que no me iba a expresar correctamente. Y esto es lo que se trata de este club, de perder ese miedo, usar tus lenguajes que ya sabes y mejorarlos. Yo participé porque yo quería mejorar en mis presentaciones y ahora estoy mejorando en mis presentaciones, no nomás en español, pero también en inglés, porque todo lo que he aprendido lo estoy aplicando a cuando tengo que dar un discurso en inglés también.
Excelente, porque una persona que tal vez, como tú dices, tiene el temor, tal vez cree, pues mi acento es diferente, no me van a entender, o tal vez voy a decir algo bien difícil, y tú lo que acabas de decir es algo bien fácil tener la mente lista para aprender y también para poder practicar con gente que te va a ayudar y apoyar en todo lo que tienes que hacer para ser una persona que puede comunicar muy bien. Excelente.
Y acabas de decir un punto bien importante, Natalie, de apoyar. De eso se trata nuestros clubs de Toastmasters, todos los clubs de Toastmasters, es apoyar a las personas que vienen aquí, porque yo he participado en otros clubs de Toastmasters donde es puro inglés, pero hay gente que viene de otros países, que hablan otros lenguajes, y que quieren mejorar su lenguaje en inglés. Y eso se trata, Toastmasters, de apoyarnos unos a los otros. Aquí no es criterio para que alguien se moleste, es un criterio para ser mejores personas, mejores oradores y hacer un cambio positivo en nuestras vidas. There's people that come from other countries that want to improve on their English speaking skills and they don't necessarily speak Spanish, they speak other languages. So one of the things for me and Toastmasters that's really important is that we're here to support each other, regardless of your language. So in our bilingual Toastmasters Club, we have a lot of people that come in that have English as a second language. So we're here to embrace them and have them improve on their presentation skills because they have no problem presenting. They just have the fear of presenting in English. That has been one of the things about our club. So like for me personally, I'm very fluent in Spanish, but 5 years ago, there's no way I would stand in front of an audience and try to do a presentation in Spanish. I would be afraid that I wasn't pronouncing the words correctly, that I wasn't saying it correctly, or people may have not been understanding my message, because it's different having to stand up in front of an audience. So one of the things with our club, and any club, is that you come to a safe environment where you can practice and it's okay to mess up. Take in what your fellow Toastmasters are telling you, especially when they evaluate you. Take it to the heart that they're trying to help you improve on your speaking skills in general, whether it's in Spanish or in English or just all English. We also have people that come from other countries that want to improve on their English speaking skills. They speak English, but they might not feel comfortable doing a presentation in English, especially if it comes to a work matter. And that's part of what our club is about, is helping each other, support each other, and grow each other.
Well, Veronica, this has been muy bien. It's been fantastic.
Gracias.
If the people want to get a hold of you, or if they want to find out more about your club, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Well, my email would be the best way to reach me. We also have a Facebook page, Hispanic Bilingual Toastmasters Club. And my email is mavero.corona@gmail.com. I'm still very involved with my Hispanic Bilingual Toastmasters Club, and it falls under my as the area director of District 52 out of the Los Angeles area. I particularly, our club, our Hispanic Bilingual Toastmasters Club is based out of Glendale, California. It falls under my clubs that I have to oversee. So I'd be happy to provide anybody any information or maybe even guide you to other clubs that might be a good fit for you.
Veronica Corona, thank you very much for being on the show. Natalie Torres Haddad, once again, thank you so much for coming up with this brilliant idea.
Thank you for having us.
And Greg and Natalie, thank you. It's been an honor and a pleasure to be here and share my journey as a Toastmaster.
Gracias por su tiempo hoy.
Gracias a ustedes dos.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.